观众朋友们，大家好，今天是7月10号，星期五，欢迎收看《美国观察》。星期四是709大抓捕的5周年，美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期三发表声明，敦促中国履行国际人权义务。蓬佩奥的声明表示说，5年前的7月9日，中国共产党针对数百名辩护律师和人权捍卫者们，发动了一场全国性的攻势，对这些人进行拘捕、审讯和出于政治动机的刑事指控。这场镇压行动因而被称为709大抓捕，目的是要吓阻这一代律师和活动人士，为任何被中共视为对其绝对权力构成威胁的人提供法律委托服务还有帮助。蓬佩奥表示说，这一轮镇压仍在继续，例如为2015年那次大抓捕中的受害者辩护的余文生受到秘密审判，并且在6月17日被判刑。此外，中国还针对了和平的活动人士，例如许志勇还有丁家喜等，他们与人权律师合作来保护中国公民的权利，并保护他们不受政府官员的迫害。蓬佩奥敦促中国履行其国际人权和义务，并保护其国内的法律保障。继印度上周宣布禁用抖音以及微信等59个中国最流行的应用软件之后，美国总统特朗普表示正在考虑禁止在美国使用抖音国际版 TikTok。美国国务卿蓬佩奥以及美国国会参议员警告美国人民使用 TikTok 的风险，包括隐私还有安全考量。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
美国政府正在对抖音国际版展开国家安全调查，不过高级美国官员并未公开说明美国海外投资委员会的调查进展以及公布结果的时间表。美国国务卿蓬佩奥这个星期两度警告美国人民使用抖音国际版的安全风险。
With respect to TikTok, I want to put it in the broader context. We have been engaged in a constant evaluation about ensuring that we protect the privacy of American citizens and their information. We want to make sure that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't have a way to easily access that. And so what you'll see the administration do is take actions that preserve and protect that information.And deny the Chinese Communist Party access to the private information that belongs to Americans.
共和党籍的美国国会参议院情报委员会议员科顿则敦促五角大楼禁止年轻的士兵在服役期间与美国的军事基地使用抖音国际版。他还鼓励美国父母仔细考虑是否让孩子们使用这个中国社媒体应用程式。佩西加说，中国与世界的关系正在全面恶化。在香港强推国安法、新冠病毒源头、美中贸易战、新疆人权问题、南中国海主权纠纷、台湾海峡的军事局势恶化、中国战狼外交导致中国外交关系全面紧张，都促使世界许多国家重新评估他们与中国的关系。
There have been some low-key calls by Chinese intellectuals for China to pause and reflect on what's going on and why it is facing this type of criticism.But I don't think Beijing is likely to significantly alter its policies when it comes to issues of sovereignty and party authority.
抖音国际版何时退出香港市场？而它的母公司字节跳动是否在香港以在中国大陆发行的同一视频应用抖音来取代它的国际版，目前并不清楚。港版国安法的颁布与实施，让抖音这个在中国起家之后寻求国际化的社交媒体面对两难的境地。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
曾经批评中共最高层的清华大学前法学教授许章润本周被警察从家中带走。知名汉学家黎安友表示说，这显示中国政府已经不在乎国际社会对其破坏人权的看法。下面是记者许湘云的采访报道。
前清华大学法学教授许章润本星期被捕，他在今年发表多篇针砭时政的文章。曾发起公开性行动，要求清华校方恢复许章润教职的汉学家黎安友在接受美国之音采访时表示，敢言批评习近平的许章润被捕是意料之中。
And yetEven without being surprised, I'm shocked that the regime is so harsh that it will crack down on a very distinguished professor who has been doing nothing illegal under the Chinese constitution. He has been exercising freedom of speech, and that they would use this charge of soliciting prostitution to kind of, it's embarrassing. Not so much for him, but for the government. I'm not surprised, and I've been waiting for this to happen for a long time, but at the same time, it's a sign of how totalitarian the regime has become now in China.
人权观察中国项目主任索菲·理查森对美国之音表示，许章润拥有许多海外声援者，这使他更不受中国政府欢迎。他被捕显示习政权不会容忍任何批评声音。
I think once again, it's the Xi Jinping government showing how paranoid it is and how incredibly sensitive it is, even to, you know, perfectly legitimate criticism. This is not somebody who is advocating violence or, you know, any sort of destructive conduct. And, you know, to have someone like that taken away so forcefully or at all, I think is just a sign of how bleak the human rights environment inside the country really is.
李安友表示，许章润被捕显示中国政府已不在乎国际观感，正如北京不顾反对声浪，实施严厉的港版国安法。
The message internationally is that the Chinese government no longer cares what the international community thinks about its human rights record. And the domestic message is not a new one. It is that anybody who criticizes the Chinese Communist Party or Xi Jinping personally is going to be repressed sooner or later.
索菲·理查森表示，许章润被捕、港版国安法以及新疆拘留营等议题都使得美中关系更加敌对和脆弱。
I think Beijing is much less vulnerable to external pressure than it once was. And, you know, recommendations that are firmly grounded in human rights that would change Beijing's mind are, I think, few and far between at the moment. But I think a major priority ought to be, you know, ensuring that the Chinese government can't.Continue to enjoy the kind of impunity it has enjoyed for gross human rights violations.
李安友表示，现在的北京既不在意国际观感，也不在乎受到制裁。国际社会与中国的对抗已经形成，西方国家，尤其美国，需团结一致。美国之音许湘云，华盛顿采访报道。
在港版国安法正式生效后，出于对自身安全的担心。香港一些支持反送中抗争的商家开始拆除或者清理联农墙上的文宣，同时一位香港人在纽约的服装店发起了快闪联农墙，继续为香港发声。来看报道。
七月一日，港版国安法生效这一天，一面快闪联农墙在纽约的一家服装店设立，上面写满了支持香港抗争的话语。
There has been a lot of panic. We feel it here. Of course, we feel it from Hong Kong. My friends from Hong Kong kept telling me, there's no way now. There's no way for any Lenin wall. The Lenin wall is going to disappear forever.
自去年反送中运动以来，贴满抗争话语便利贴和文宣的联农墙已成为香港民主抗争的标志之一。联农墙不仅出现在香港的街头，许多商家也在店中展示。但在港版国安法实施之后，自由表达抗争诉求的行为有可能遭到惩处，联农墙很难在香港继续存在。在纽约工作的香港人贝拉联系到他熟悉的一家位于 SOHO 的服装店，店主欣然同意他布置联农墙的想法。
I was very determined to put on the temporary wall exactly on July 1st. It's basically saying that you can try to silence Hong Konger, but.The world has seen. You can't silence the whole world.
据店主说，每天都有过往的行人写下纸条贴在这面墙上。贝拉还放上了澳大利亚华人艺术家巴丢草的作品，一幅习近平和林郑月娥的背上沾满了便利贴纸的政治漫画。
They just kind of pretend that nothing is happening.
这面快闪联农墙会持续至七月十二日。贝拉说，纽约新冠疫情期间无法举行集会和活动。发起快闪联农墙也是他表达内心感情的一种方式。
There is this really strong emotion in me that I feel like we can't give up. If Hong Konger can't speak for themselves, then we, the one who are outside of Hong Kong, should speak up for them.
美国之音记者九岛，纽约报道。
美国贸易代表莱特希泽星期四就全球贸易体系发表讲话。下面请看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国贸易代表莱特希泽7月9号星期四在一位被称为 皇家国际事务研究所的戚贤楼发表讲话，来针对全球的贸易体制呢发表他的看法。那么在讲话当中呢，他批评了中国与韩国还有国家政策补助产业的做法，那么也批评了欧盟对于美国有多项的贸易壁垒，说这些国家都采取贸易保护的做法对美国不利。针对特朗普政府向中国、加拿大、墨西哥以及欧盟等国家实施高关税，但实际上经济负担却落在美国的消费者身上。劳特希则说，特朗普政府的做法是希望保护美国的制造业，但如果因此伤害了美国的消费者，未来政策也会渐渐调整来寻求平衡。劳特希则表示，美国的外交政策复杂，包括经济、国防、网络安全等等各方面。而从他主管的经济层面来说呢，第一阶段美中贸易协议是非常重要的一步，当中包括了知识产权的保护、中国向美国购买更多的商品等等。而针对 FBI 局长克里斯多夫说，中国对美国的知识产权盗窃形成重大的威胁，莱特希则表示，这就是为什么他在2017年就对中国发起长达8个月的301条款的调查。不过他也提醒，中国并不是一个人，而是一个巨大的复杂的集合体，在那里有不同的规范与做法。那么被问到了美中贸易谈判的最终目标是什么的时候，莱特希则做出了回答，我们来看一下。
So we have to figure out new rules. What phase one is an attempt to find those kinds of rules. And these are rules setting aside all the aggression in India and in Hong Kong and all, setting all that aside, like just in this one sphere to the extent you can do it. Creating rules that benefit all of us is in our interest. We haven't done that yet, but the notion is we should have rules that accommodate for the fact that some people operate on a basis that's not market-driven and economic. So what we're trying to do is develop those rules. If it's possible, we'll do it. They have to benefit everyone. If it's not, we'll just have a situation where we end up with chaos.
莱特希则说呢，现在正是要来重塑世界贸易体制的时机。那不过呢，我们现在看到世界第二大的经济体中国就在世贸组织当中，所以他不确定世贸组织能够做到这样子的改革。那么就美国国内而言呢，许多的大公司在海外注册来规避交税给美国政府。莱特希则表示，这样的情况必须要被解决，而特朗普总统也对此感到很不满。虽然在之前国会的减税法案当中有提出解决的方案，最后呢却因为政治因素而被拿掉。不过他表示，这样的情况还是需要被解决的。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
越来越多的人猜测，英国可能不会使用中国公司华为的 5G 移动电信技术。北京警告英国不要将中国变成敌人。
英国退欧后，首相约翰逊试图建立一个新的所谓的全球英国，着眼于与世界上最大的经济体即美国和中国签署新的贸易协议。但是在这个两个对手大国之间，英国发现自己的困境日益加剧。今年一月，首相约翰逊批准了中国公司华为建立英国 5G 移动网络的非核心元素。美国强烈批评了这一决定，警告说华为与中国政府关系密切，存在安全隐患。现在看来，约翰逊可能会改变主意。
I'm also determined that the UK should not be in any way vulnerable to a high-risk state vendors. So we'll have to think carefully about how we handle that.
造成这种变化的原因可能是美国五月份决定实施的制裁，以阻止美国公司向华为提供 5G 芯片。此后，英国国家网络安全中心警告说，美国的这一举动会降低华为技术的安全性和可靠性。反对中国参与的英国议会议员表示，政府应该利用这个机会改变方向。
I think it gives them a way out because it became very apparent to them that they'd got this wrong, I think, over the last few months, and that they even knew they had to change. So what's happened since, of course, since COVID and China's failure to get that under control early or to inform anybody about the nature of it and its spread, that's also persuaded people that these are not trustworthy as a government.
华为表示，美国只是在试图压制一个商业竞争对手。
The UK has had a very long relationship with China, and I hope it's not one that they simply throw away.
就在五年前，时任英国首相卡梅伦为英中关系开启了一个新的黄金时代而欢呼。现在， 英中之间因为华为、香港和新冠疫情而导致紧张关系加剧。中国驻英大使星期一在互联网广播中发布了如下警告
We want to be your friend. We want to be your partner. But if you want to make China a hostile country, you have to bear the consequences.
预计对华为的最终决定将在英国议会于7月22日休会前作出。美国之音记者李奇维尔伦敦报道。
在美国，超过300万人感染了新冠病毒，已经有13万人死亡。现在，加利福尼亚、佛罗里达、德克萨斯和亚利桑那等美国一些最大的州，新冠病例正在激增。
加利福尼亚州的新冠病毒激增，导致民主党籍州长纽瑟姆下令对加州58个县中的1/3进行部分封锁。计划夏季休会结束与下星期复会的州议会也无限期关闭。这是某些共和党人无法接受的。
It's just not a sustainable solution to shut the legislative branch of government down indefinitely. There are people across the state who depend on the work we do, not least of which, the work that is directly relevant, to addressing the public health issues, related to COVID-19 and the associated, issues affecting the economy and people's lives.
在遭受重创的另一个州佛罗里达，共和党籍州长德桑蒂斯说，州内的医疗机构已经做好接受大量新冠病人的准备。
In South Florida, you now have the Miami Care Center. You have a facility in Broward that's COVID only, and then you have two in Palm Beach County, that are COVID only. So that's a pretty significant number of beds, to be able, to care for people who are COVID positive.
星期二，佛罗里达州民主党议会代表团抨击了州长对疫情的回应，称他拒绝发布全州范围要求戴口罩和关闭海滩的命令，就是不顾佛罗里达州人的死活，是在传播这种疾病。上个星期，佛罗里达平均每天出现8500多例新确诊病例，几乎是一个月前平均水平的8倍。在亚利桑那州，对医院病床的需求也创下了记录。
We are definitely not seeing the curve bend. I mean, every day it seems one after another, there's a new record level of brand new cases, of COVID-19 in the state of Arizona.
病例激增的德克萨斯州已经成为受到新冠病毒大流行打击最严重的州之一。星期二有10000多个新病例，创下了自疫情开始以来的最高记录。但是尽管州府发出命令，但如同这些牛仔竞技观看者一样的许多当地人仍然拒绝社交距离和戴口罩的规定。
Because I'm an American and I feel like I should be able to do what I want to. I pay my taxes. I live free. I want to be free.
Because it's against our constitutional rights. They shouldn't be able to dictate what I wear.
但是在上周末的美国独立日庆祝活动之后，一位美国主要的传染病专家警告说，新冠病毒传染病例可能会急剧增加。
We are in one of the worst parts of the epidemic. This is the beginning. They will double in the next 2 weeks, and then double again the week after that.
但是白宫新冠疫情工作组看到的却是另一番景象。
We're actually seeing early indications of a percent of positive testing flattening in Arizona and Florida and Texas.Governors in each of those states have taken strong steps to flatten the curve.
副总统彭斯发表上述评论之际，美国疾控中心准备发布新的指导方针，准备秋季重新开放校园。美国之音记者迪亚洛华盛顿报道。
可口可乐、阿迪达斯、福特还有乐高等公司这个月都在抵制脸书，他们撤掉了在这个社交媒体上投放的广告，并且要求脸书公司加强打击有关大选等议题的仇恨言论、阴谋论还有错误信息。
几百家公司表示，作为制止仇恨牟利运动的一部分，他们七月份将不在脸书及其姐妹公司 Instagram 上面做广告。这么做的目的是什么？据长视媒体公司首席执行官兼创办人吉姆·斯泰尔说， 是为了迫使脸书首席执行官马克扎克伯格解决脸书对社会的负面影响。斯泰尔是抵制活动的支持者之一。
That they are amplifying hate speech, racist messages, white supremacy messages, all sorts of misinformation and dishonest political advertising. So we asked the major advertisers of America to pause their advertising on the platform for at least a month.
抵制活动的要求包括要扎克伯格对仇恨言论加强管理，并采取更多措施来制止宣扬假消息，特别是在投票方面。这些都是脸书可以进行的改变。要如何改变脸书的想法不一而足，有些人诉诸于法规，其他人则表示应该将公司分拆，让拥有公司控股权的扎克伯格对董事会负责。还有一个想法是聘请伦理学家来帮助决策，赋予他们在组织内的权利。
I don't think there's any one core set of values. I wish there was. And I wish it was some sense of trying to help the common good or trying to protect human rights or something that really helped them be a guiding principle.
脸书表示公司不会容忍仇恨言论，还指出他们的自动系统在用户看到煽动性的广告之前会先予以删除。最近脸书公司同意外部审核他们的运作，以确保广告客户不会出现在有害信息的旁边，这是抵制行动组织者的要求之一。脸书还说违反公司规定的内容将被标示出来，甚至包括民选官员发布的内容。脸书还将删除公司认为可能导致暴力或剥夺人们投票权的帖子，这些都是重要的步骤，但有些批评者认为这还不够。
Yes, they can change. It's a question of whether they want to. Can they change as long as they continue to pursue being the biggest, most dominant company in the world that absolutely has a monopoly over all conversations, how we get our content, how we connect with people? Possibly not.
抵制活动的组织者说，他们的宣传活动正走向全球，但他们还需要一段时间才会知道自己的努力成效是否持久。美国之音记者米歇尔·奎因，加利福尼亚州奥克兰发来的报道。
在全国范围内，许多年轻人走上街头游行抗议，就社会正义问题大声疾呼。抖音海外版 TikTok、推特还有 Snapchat 正在有效的团结年轻一代。
Go reserve tickets now and leave him standing there alone on the stage. What do you say?
这被称为是 TikTok 现象，在社交网络上呼吁采取行动，可能导致了特朗普最近一次集会的出席率低于预期。在纳什维尔，六名青少年组织了一场反对警察暴行的游行，吸引了近万名群众参加。他们是怎么把消息传出来的？通过 Instagram。今天的青年人正在用他们最了解的社交媒体发声。
I think overall technology has really been a driving force for us, having those things that already connect us, and then kind of trying to figure out how we can manipulate these things, how we can use them to our advantage.
在纽约市，杰西卡·罗萨里奥和他的同辈一直忙于围绕在线选民登记召集社区。
We wanted to really create a space for digital democracy.
与其他志同道合的组织共享资源和建立在线联盟是关键。
There's nothing better than coming together in a group and just really talking about what's necessary and then splitting up and creating those tools so that we can share it out to our communities.
数字活动主义并不新鲜，但如今的年轻人正在更充分地利用这一点。罗萨里奥帮助创建数字工具包，支持者可以使用这些工具包推动州参议院的立法行动。
People could click on it and it would automatically open up their Twitter with like a pre-written tweet that we had created. And just in a second, you could send that. It tags the elected officials, telling them exactly what the legislation name is and why we were demanding it.
罗萨里奥认为推特风暴推动了纽约民权法中的一部分被废除。
We created that in just a matter of, I want to say hours to a day.
其他人则重新调整了现有的平台，如 Twitch， 这是一个为游戏玩家准备的直播网站，最近已成为一个直播实地发生的抗议活动的地方。对于21岁的罗萨里奥来说，虽然他属于 Z 世代，但他仍然对老派技术表示赞赏。
Text isn't always the best. If you have a lot to say, you want to hear people's emotions when you're like telling them news. I love phone calls way better than text messages.
对于这些数字化时代出生的人来说，引起每个人的注意的根本就是线上线下的联系。美国之音郑蒂娜，纽约报道。
之免费提供课后项目，让孩子们在华盛顿特区30个图书馆里对着治疗犬大声朗读。我们一起去看一看。
Hello everyone，
参加的人互相打招呼。进入虚拟小组会议之前，在那里孩子们向 PAL 组织的狗和狗主朗读30分钟，也就是和两只不同的小狗共度15分钟。到目前为止，已经有250个孩子登记参加每天的日程。而这些日程一直在增多，以跟上需求。
I think the program has been popular because it's something that is new and it's exciting. It's fun.
Is that a unicorn?
对于6岁的露西来说，也确实是这样。她希望哈米喜欢今天的故事。
I think he understood it because my book was about animals.
海沃森说，这个项目帮助孩子们加强阅读能力，还可建立自信。
Awesome to just have an audience that isn't judging. It doesn't care if you mispronounce a word.
关于 PAL 在 Zoom 平台的阅读项目的消息传开后，美国其他地方和加拿大的孩子也开始报名参加。维吉尼亚州里士满8岁的林肯也在里面，他正在朗读《戴帽子的猫》给克拉斯蒂和志愿工作者克利谢伯斯听。
I like the rhymes. The dogs really want mostly pictures and not words.
林肯的母亲说，他儿子为狗朗读的时候精神振奋。
I noticed especially after the first time how happy and confident he seemed to feel.
即使华盛顿地区的图书馆重新开放后，海沃森仍计划要继续进行虚拟项目。
We expect kids to continue from all over the country, potentially the world, and we look forward to one day welcoming dogs from around the country.
美国之音记者布洛克，华盛顿报道。
视频门铃可以让屋主看到上门的访客，还可以录像。但是最近摄像机拍到的门外的动物，让许多屋主都大吃一惊。
这是通过可录制视频的响铃门铃所揭露出动物神秘的一面。
Initially, the intent of Ring was to bring safety and security to homeowners.
但与其说用来吓阻歹徒，这个也可以充当保全设备的门铃，正在捕捉令人吃惊的动作画面。像这只猫贼这样的四条腿罪犯被拍个正着。这个累犯喜欢偷垃圾。
Out the garbage.
这个小贼偏爱从汽车里偷东西吃。仔细看这个荧幕的左下角，没错，那是一只进退失据的鳄鱼，因为撞进篱笆而造成财务损失。
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was unexpected. I think we found that our customers have found a whole host of other ways to use their Ring devices that have been a really pleasant surprise. I think a really fun example of that is capturing wildlife at your front door.
消费者可选择的内置保全摄像头的门铃越来越多，他们都提供类似的功能。
It records when motion is detected, when there is a ding event, so when somebody rings your doorbell, and you can also do a live view.
视频门铃除了捕捉动物捣蛋的一面之外，也让人一睹动物如何放松和找乐子。
You know, I've actually met a lot of dogs in the neighborhood through my ring.
许多视频门铃都有一个可双向通讯的喇叭。当这只狗试图偷溜出去闯荡的时候，它就派上用场了。
Sadie, go back in the house. Go.
它听话了。
Good girl.
如果其他动物也能这么听话就好了。美国之音记者李爱玲报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。 观众朋友们大家好，今天是7月10号星期五，欢迎收看美国观察。星期四是709大抓捕的5周年，美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期三发表声明，敦促中国履行国际人权义务。蓬佩奥的声明表示说，5年前的7月9日，中国共产党针对数百名辩护律师和人权捍卫者们发动了一场全国性的攻势，对这些人进行拘捕、审讯和出于政治动机的刑事指控。这场镇压行动因而被称为709大抓捕，目的是要吓阻这一代律师和活动人士，为任何被中共视为对其绝对权力构成威胁的人提供法律委托服务还有帮助。蓬佩奥表示说，这一轮镇压仍在继续，例如为2015年那次大抓捕中的受害者辩护的余文生受到秘密审判，并且在6月17日被判刑。此外，中国还针对了和平的活动人士，例如许志勇还有丁家喜等，他们与人权律师合作来保护中国公民的权利，并保护他们不受政府官员的迫害。蓬佩奥敦促中国履行其国际人权和义务，并保护其国内的法律保障。继印度上周宣布禁用抖音以及微信等59个中国最流行的应用软件之后，美国总统特朗普表示正在考虑禁止在美国使用抖音国际版 TikTok。美国国务卿蓬佩奥以及美国国会参议员警告美国人民使用 TikTok 的风险，包括隐私还有安全考量。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
美国政府正在对抖音国际版展开国家安全调查，不过高级美国官员并未公开说明美国海外投资委员会的调查进展以及公布结果的时间表。美国国务卿蓬佩奥这个星期两度警告美国人民使用抖音国际版的安全风险。
With respect to TikTok, I want to put it in the broader context. We have been engaged in a constant evaluation about ensuring that we protect the privacy of American citizens and their information. We want to make sure that the Chinese Communist Party doesn't have a way to easily access that. And so what you'll see the administration do is take actions that preserve and protect that information.And deny the Chinese Communist Party access to the private information that belongs to Americans.
共和党籍的美国国会参议院情报委员会议员科顿则敦促五角大楼禁止年轻的士兵在服役期间与美国的军事基地使用抖音国际版。他还鼓励美国父母仔细考虑是否让孩子们使用这个中国社媒体应用程式。分析家说，中国与世界的关系正在全面恶化。在香港强推国安法、新冠病毒源头、美中贸易战、新疆人权问题、南中国海主权纠纷、台湾海峡的军事局势恶化、中国战狼外交导致中国外交关系全面紧张，都促使世界许多国家重新评估他们与中国的关系。
There have been some low-key calls by Chinese intellectuals for China to pause and reflect on what's going on and why it is facing this type of criticism.But I don't think Beijing is likely to significantly alter its policies when it comes to issues of sovereignty and party authority.
抖音国际版何时退出香港市场？而他的母公司字节跳动是否在香港以在中国大陆发行的同一视频应用抖音来取代他的国际版？目前并不清楚。港版国安法的颁布与实施，让抖音这个在中国起家之后寻求国际化的社交媒体面对两难的境地。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
曾经批评中共最高层的清华大学前法学教授许章润本周被警察从家中带走。知名汉学家黎安友表示说，这显示中国政府已经不在乎国际社会对其破坏人权的看法。下面是记者许湘云的采访报道。
前清华大学法学教授许章润本星期被捕，他在今年发表多篇针砭时政的文章。曾发起公开性行动要求清华校方恢复许章润教职的汉学家黎安友在接受美国之音采访时表示，敢言批评习近平的许章润被捕是意料之中。
And yetEven without being surprised, I'm shocked that the regime is so harsh that it will crack down on a very distinguished professor who has been doing nothing illegal under the Chinese constitution. He has been exercising freedom of speech, and that they would use this charge of soliciting prostitution to kind of, it's embarrassing. Not so much for him, but for the government. I'm not surprised, and I've been waiting for this to happen for a long time, but at the same time, it's a sign of how totalitarian the regime has become now in China.
人权观察中国项目主任索菲·理查森对美国之音表示，许章润拥有许多海外声援者，这使他更不受中国政府欢迎。他被捕显示习政权不会容忍任何批评声音。
I think once again, it's the Xi Jinping government showing how paranoid it is and how incredibly sensitive it is, even to, you know, perfectly legitimate criticism. This is not somebody who is advocating violence or, you know, any sort of destructive conduct. And, you know, to have someone like that taken away so forcefully or at all, I think is just a sign of how bleak the human rights environment inside the country really is.
李安友表示，许章润被捕显示中国政府已不在乎国际观感，正如北京不顾反对声浪，实施严厉的港版国安法。
The message internationally is that the Chinese government no longer cares what the international community thinks about its human rights record. And the domestic message is not a new one. It is that anybody who criticizes the Chinese Communist Party or Xi Jinping personally is going to be repressed sooner or later.
索菲·理查森表示，许章润被捕、港版国安法以及新疆拘留营等议题都使得美中关系更加敌对和脆弱。
I think Beijing is much less vulnerable to external pressure than it once was. And, you know, recommendations that are firmly grounded in human rights that would change Beijing's mind are, I think, few and far between at the moment. But I think a major priority ought to be, you know, ensuring that the Chinese government can't continue to enjoy the kind of impunity it has enjoyed for gross human rights violations.
李安友表示，现在的北京既不在意国际观感，也不在乎受到制裁。国际社会与中国的对抗已经形成，西方国家，尤其美国，需团结一致。美国之音许湘云，华盛顿采访报道。
在港版国安法正式生效后，出于对自身安全的担心，香港一些支持反送中抗争的商家开始拆除或者清理联农墙上的文宣。同时，一位香港人在纽约的服装店发起了快闪联农墙，继续为香港发声。来看报道。
七月一日，港版国安法生效这一天，一面快闪联农墙在纽约的一家服装店设立，上面写满了支持香港抗争的话语。
There has been a lot of panic. We feel it here. Of course, we feel it from Hong Kong. My friends from Hong Kong kept telling me, there's no way now. There's no way for any Lenin wall. The Lenin wall is going to disappear forever.
自去年反送中运动以来，贴满抗争话语便利贴和文宣的联农墙已成为香港民主抗争的标志之一。联农墙不仅出现在香港的街头，许多商家也在店中展示。但在港版国安法实施之后，自由表达抗争诉求的行为有可能遭到惩处，联农墙很难在香港继续存在。在纽约工作的香港人贝拉联系到他熟悉的一家位于 SOHO 的服装店，店主欣然同意他布置联农墙的想法。
I was very determined to put on the temporary wall exactly on July 1st. It's basically saying that you can try to silence Hong Konger, but.The world has seen. You can't silence the whole world.
据店主说，每天都有过往的行人写下纸条贴在这面墙上。贝拉还放上了澳大利亚华人艺术家巴丢草的作品，一幅习近平和林郑月娥的背上沾满了便利贴纸的政治漫画。
They just kind of pretend that nothing is happening.
这面快闪联农墙会持续至七月十二日。贝拉说，纽约新冠疫情期间无法举行集会和活动，发起快闪联农墙也是他表达内心感情的一种方式。
There is this really strong emotion in me that I feel like we can't give up. If Hong Konger can't speak for themselves, then we, the one who are outside of Hong Kong, should speak up for them.
美国之音记者九岛，纽约报道。
美国贸易代表莱特希泽星期四就全球贸易体系发表讲话。下面请看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国贸易代表莱特希泽七月九号星期四在一位称为
皇家国际事务研究所的戚贤楼发表讲话，来针对全球的贸易体制呢发表他的看法。那么在讲话当中呢，他批评了中国与韩国还有国家政策补助产业的做法，那么也批评了欧盟对于美国有多项的贸易壁垒，说这些国家都采取贸易保护的做法对美国不利。针对特朗普政府向中国、加拿大、墨西哥以及欧盟等国家实施高关税，但实际上经济负担却落在美国的消费者身上。劳特希德说，特朗普政府的做法是希望保护美国的制造业，但如果因此伤害了美国的消费者，未来政策也会渐渐调整来寻求平衡。劳特希德表示，美国的外交政策复杂，包括经济、国防、网络安全等等各方面。而从他主管的经济层面来说呢，第一阶段美中贸易协议是非常重要的一步，当中包括了知识产权的保护、中国向美国购买更多的商品等等。而针对 FBI 局长克里斯多福说，中国对美国的知识产权盗窃形成重大的威胁，莱特希德表示，这就是为什么他在2017年就对中国发起长达八个月的301条款的调查。不过他也提醒，中国并不是一个人，而是一个巨大的复杂的集合体，在那里有不同的规范与做法。那么被问到了美中贸易谈判的最终目标是什么的时候，莱特希德做出了回答，我们来看一下。
So we have to figure out new rules. What phase one is an attempt to find those kinds of rules. And these are rules setting aside all the aggression in India and all and in Hong Kong and all, setting all that aside, I guess, in this one sphere to the extent you can do it. Creating rules that benefit all of us is in our interest. We haven't done that yet, but the notion is we should have rules that accommodate for the fact that some people operate on a basis that's not market-driven and economic. So what we're trying to do is develop those rules. If it's possible, we'll do it. They have to benefit everyone. If it's not, we'll just have a situation where we end up with chaos.
莱特希德说呢，现在正是要来重塑世界贸易体制的时机。那不过呢，我们现在看到世界第二大的经济体中国就在世贸组织当中，所以他不确定世贸组织能够做到这样子的改革。那么就美国国内而言呢，许多的大公司在海外注册来规避交税给美国政府。莱特希德表示，这样的情况必须要被解决，而特朗普总统也对此感到很不满。虽然在之前国会的减税法案当中有提出解决的方案，最后呢却因为政治因素而被拿掉。不过他表示，这样的情况还是需要被解决的。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
越来越多的人猜测英国可能不会使用中国公司华为的 5G 移动电信技术。北京警告英国不要将中国变成敌人。
英国退欧后，首相约翰逊试图建立一个新的所谓的全球英国，着眼于与世界上最大的经济体即美国和中国签署新的贸易协议。但是在这个两个对手大国之间，英国发现自己的困境日益加剧。今年1月，首相约翰逊批准了中国公司华为建立英国 5G 移动网络的非核心元素。美国强烈批评了这一决定，警告说华为与中国政府关系密切，存在安全隐患。现在看来，约翰逊可能会改变主意。
I'm also determined that the UK should not be in any way vulnerable to a high-risk state vendor. So we'll have to think carefully about how we handle that.
造成这种变化的原因，可能是美国五月份决定实施的制裁，以阻止美国公司向华为提供 5G 芯片。此后，英国国家网络安全中心警告说，美国的这一举动会降低华为技术的安全性和可靠性。反对中国参与的英国议会议员表示，政府应该利用这个机会改变方向。
I think it gives them a way out because it became very apparent to them that they'd got this wrong, I think, over the last few months, and that they even knew they had to change. So what's happened since, of course, since COVID and theChina's failure to get that under control early or to inform anybody about the nature of it and its spread, that's also persuaded people that these are not trustworthy as a government.
华为表示，美国只是在试图压制一个商业竞争对手。
The UK has a very long relationship with China, and I hope it's not one that they simply throw away.
就在五年前，时任英国首相卡梅伦为英中关系开启了一个新的黄金时代而欢呼。现在， 英中之间因为华为、香港和新冠疫情而导致紧张关系加剧。中国驻英大使星期一在互联网广播中发布了如下警告
We want to be your friend. We want to be your partner. But if you want to make China a hostile country, you have to bear the consequences.
预计对华为的最终决定将在英国议会于7月22日休会前作出。美国之音记者李奇维尔伦敦报道。
在美国，超过300万人感染了新冠病毒，已经有13万人死亡。现在，加利福尼亚、佛罗里达、德克萨斯和亚利桑那等美国一些最大的州，新冠病例正在激增。
加利福尼亚州的新冠病毒激增，导致民主党籍州长纽瑟姆下令对加州58个县中的1/3进行部分封锁。计划夏季休会结束与下星期复会的州议会也无限期关闭，这是某些共和党人无法接受的。
It's just not a sustainable solution.To shut the legislative branch of government down indefinitely. There are people across the state who depend on the work we do, not least of which, the work that is directly relevant, to addressing the public health issues, related to COVID-19 and the associated, issues affecting the economy and people's lives.
在遭受重创的另一个州佛罗里达，共和党籍州长德桑蒂斯说，州内的医疗机构已经做好接受大量新冠病人的准备。
In South Florida, you now have the Miami Care Center. You have a facility in Broward that's COVID only, and then you have two in Palm Beach County, that are COVID only. So that's a pretty significant number of beds, to be able, to care for people who are COVID positive.
星期二，佛罗里达州民主党议会代表团抨击了州长对疫情的回应，称他拒绝发布全州范围要求戴口罩和关闭海滩的命令，就是不顾佛罗里达州人的死活，是在传播这种疾病。上个星期，佛罗里达平均每天出现8500多例新确诊病例，几乎是一个月前平均水平的8倍。在亚利桑那州，对医院病床的需求也创下了记录。
We are definitely not seeing the curve bend. I mean, every day it seems one after another, there's a new record level of brand new cases, of COVID-19 in the state of Arizona.
病例激增的德克萨斯州已经成为受到新冠病毒大流行打击最严重的州之一。星期二有10000多个新病例，创下了自疫情开始以来的最高纪录。但是尽管州府发出命令，但如同这些牛仔竞技观看者一样的许多当地人仍然拒绝社交距离和戴口罩的规定。
Because I'm an American and I feel like I should be able to do what I want to. I pay my taxes, I live free, I want to be free.
Because it's against our constitutional rights. They shouldn't be able to dictate what I wear.
但是在上周末的美国独立日庆祝活动之后，一位美国主要的传染病专家警告说，新冠病毒传染病例可能会急剧增加。
We are in one of the worst parts of the epidemic. This is the beginning. They will double in the next 2 weeks, and then double again the week after that.
但是白宫新冠疫情工作组看到的却是另一番景象。
We're actually seeing early indications.Of a percent of positive testing flattening in Arizona and Florida and Texas. Governors in each of those states have taken strong steps to flatten the curve.
副总统彭斯发表上述评论之际，美国疾控中心准备发布新的指导方针，准备秋季重新开放校园。美国之音记者迪亚洛华盛顿报道。
可口可乐、阿迪达斯、福特还有乐高等公司这个月都在抵制脸书，他们撤掉了在这个社交媒体上投放的广告，并且要求脸书公司加强打击有关大选等议题的仇恨言论、阴谋论还有错误信息。
几百家公司表示，作为制止仇恨牟利运动的一部分，他们7月份将不在脸书及其姐妹公司 Instagram 上面做广告， 这么做的目的是什么？据长实媒体公司首席执行官兼创办人吉姆斯泰尔说，是为了迫使脸书首席执行官马克扎克伯格解决脸书对社会的负面影响。斯泰尔是抵制活动的支持者之一。
That they are amplifying hate speech, racist messages, white supremacy messages, all sorts of misinformation and dishonest political advertising. So we asked the major advertisers of America to pause their advertising on the platform for at least a month.
抵制活动的要求包括要扎克伯格对仇恨言论加强管理，并采取更多措施来制止宣扬假消息，特别是在投票方面。这些都是脸书可以进行的改变。要如何改变脸书的想法不一而足，有些人诉诸于法规，其他人则表示应该将公司分拆，让拥有公司控股权的扎克伯格对董事会负责。还有一个想法是聘请伦理学家来帮助决策，赋予他们在组织内的权利。
I don't think there's any one core set of values. I wish there was. And I wish it was some sense of trying to help the common good or trying to protect human rights or something that really helped them be a guiding principle.
脸书表示公司不会容忍仇恨言论，还指出他们的自动系统在用户看到煽动性的广告之前会先予以删除。最近脸书公司同意外部审核他们的运作，以确保广告客户不会出现在有害信息的旁边，这是抵制行动组织者的要求之一。脸书还说违反公司规定的内容将被标示出来，甚至包括民选官员发布的内容。脸书还将删除公司认为可能导致暴力或剥夺人们投票权的帖子，这些都是重要的步骤，但有些批评者认为这还不够。
Yes, they can change. It's a question of whether they want to. Can they change as long as they continue to pursue being the biggest, most dominant company in the world that absolutely has a monopoly over all conversations, how we get our content, how we connect with people? Possibly not.
抵制活动的组织者说，他们的宣传活动正走向全球，但他们还需要一段时间才会知道自己的努力成效是否持久。美国之音记者米歇尔·奎因，加利福尼亚州奥克兰发来的报道。
在全国范围内，许多年轻人走上街头游行抗议，就社会正义问题大声疾呼。抖音海外版 TikTok、推特还有 Snapchat 正在有效地团结年轻一代。
Go reserve tickets now and leave him standing there alone on the stage. What do you say?
这被称为是 TikTok 现象，在社交网络上呼吁采取行动，可能导致了特朗普最近一次集会的出席率低于预期。在纳什维尔，六名青少年组织了一场反对警察暴行的游行，吸引了近万名群众参加。他们是怎么把消息传出来的？通过 Instagram。今天的青年人正在用他们最了解的社交媒体发声。
I think overall technology has really been a driving force for us, having those things that already connect us, and then kind of trying to figure out how we can manipulate these things, how we can use them to our advantage.
在纽约市，杰西卡·罗萨里奥和他的同辈一直忙于围绕在线选民登记召集社区。
We wanted to really create a space for digital democracy.
与其他志同道合的组织共享资源和建立在线联盟是关键。
There's nothing better than coming together in a group and just really talking about what's necessary and then splitting up and creating those tools so that we can share it out to our communities.
数字活动主义并不新鲜，但如今的年轻人正在更充分地利用这一点。罗萨里奥帮助创建数字工具包，支持者可以使用这些工具包推动州参议院的立法行动。
People could click on it, and it would automatically open up their Twitter with like a pre-written tweet that we had created. And just in a second, you could send that. It tags the elected officials, telling them exactly what the legislation name is and why we were demanding it.
罗萨里奥认为，推特风暴推动了纽约民权法中的一部分被废除。
We created that in just a matter of, I want to say hours to a day.
其他人则重新调整了现有的平台，如 Twitch， 这是一个为游戏玩家准备的直播网站，最近已成为一个直播实地发生的抗议活动的地方。对于21岁的罗萨里奥来说，虽然他属于 Z 世代，但他仍然对老派技术表示赞赏。
text isn't always the best. If you have a lot to say, you want to hear people's emotions when you're like telling them news. I love phone calls way better than text messages.
对于这些数字化时代出生的人来说，引起每个人的注意的根本就是线上线下的联系。美国之音郑蒂娜，纽约报道。
免费提供课后项目，让孩子们在华盛顿特区30个图书馆里对着治疗犬大声朗读。我们一起去看一看。
Hello everyone，
参加的人互相打招呼。进入虚拟小组会议之前，在那里孩子们向 PAL 组织的狗和狗主朗读30分钟，也就是和两只不同的小狗共度15分钟。到目前为止，已经有250个孩子登记参加每天的日程。而这些日程一直在增多，以跟上需求。
I think the program has been popular because it's something that is new and it's exciting. It's fun.
Is that a unicorn?
对于6岁的露西来说，也确实是这样。她希望哈米喜欢今天的故事。
I think he understood it because my book was about animals.
韩沃森说，这个项目帮助孩子们加强阅读能力，还可建立自信。
Awesome to just have an audience that isn't judging. It doesn't care if you mispronounce a word.
关于 PAL 在 Zoom 平台的阅读项目的消息传开后，美国其他地方和加拿大的孩子也开始报名参加。维吉尼亚州离世满8岁的林肯也在里面，他正在朗读《戴帽子的猫》给克拉斯蒂和志愿工作者克利谢伯斯听。
I like the rhymes. The dogs really want mostly pictures and not.
林肯的母亲说，他儿子为狗朗读的时候精神振奋。
I noticed, especially after the first time, how happy and confident he seemed to feel.
即使华盛顿地区的图书馆重新开放后，韩沃森仍计划要继续进行虚拟项目。
We expect kids to continue from all over the country, potentially the world.And we look forward to one day welcoming dogs from around the country.
美国之音记者布洛克，华盛顿报道。
视频门铃可以让屋主看到上门的访客，还可以录像。但是最近摄像机拍到的门外的动物让许多屋主都大吃一惊。
这是通过可录制视频的响铃门铃所揭露出动物神秘的一面。
Initially, the intent of Ring was to bring safety and security to homeowners.
但与其说用来吓阻歹徒，这个也可以充当保全设备的门铃，正在捕捉令人吃惊的动作画面。像这只猫贼这样的4条腿罪犯被拍个正着。这个累犯喜欢偷垃圾。
Get out there, garbage.
这个小贼偏爱从汽车里偷东西吃。仔细看这个荧幕的左下角。没错，那是一只进退失据的鳄鱼，因为撞进篱笆而造成财务损失。
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was unexpected. I think we found that our customers have found a whole host of other ways to use their Ring devices that have been a really pleasant surprise. I think a really fun example of that is capturing wildlife at your front door.
消费者可选择的内置保全摄像头的门铃越来越多，他们都提供类似的功能。
It records when motion is detected, when there is a ding event, so when somebody rings your doorbell, and you can also do a live view.
视频门铃除了捕捉动物捣蛋的一面之外，也让人一睹动物如何放松和找乐子。
You know, I've actually met a lot of dogs in the neighborhood through my Ring.
许多视频门铃都有一个可双向通讯的喇叭，当这只狗试图偷溜出去闯荡的时候，它就派上用场了。
Sadie, go back in the house. Go.
他听话了。
Good girl.
如果其他动物也能这么听话就好了。美国之音记者李爱玲报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。